Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Through the years, I've given many, many presentations and workshops to pastoral conferences, as well as teaching in my classes, on the need to be attentive to culture and context when teaching or presenting or preaching the gospel. And when I talk about this need to be attentive to the cultural context, inevitably, some student or some pastor will raise his hand and he will say, but Dr. Rutt, the gospel's offensive. Isn't the gospel offensive? Why be so worried about being attentive to culture if the gospel's offensive anyway? To which I would respond, yes, the gospel is offensive. It's offensive enough on its own without you making it worse. And I thought about that in our lesson today because, of course, Paul does talk about the gospel being an offense, but he also, it seems, speaks about people coming to the gospel or considering the gospel from two different perspectives. On the one hand, he speaks about the Jews who are looking for signs of power. They're looking for some kind of miraculous confirmation of the Messiah and his message. And on the other hand, of course, there are the Greeks, says Paul, and they're seeking after wisdom. They like to have their ears tickled with philosophical meanderings. In fact, I once had a PhD student who wrote his entire doctoral dissertation on this passage, and he advocated the idea that really all cultures all around the world can neatly fall into one of these two categories, a category of a power culture or a wisdom culture. It's an interesting thought, although probably a little bit simplistic, although he did pass his dissertation defense. But one thing I think that we can say is that human beings naturally will find the news of the cross, that God sent his son to embrace the suffering of humanity on the cross, that God sent his son to suffer on the cross and to die for us on our behalf, in our place, natural human beings will find that either foolishness or weakness or both. And there are many, many reasons that they give. Some would say, how can an almighty God allow something like that to happen to his son? He must not be almighty. It's illogical. Why would he do that if he were almighty? Or some would say, well, I don't want to be a part of a religion that worships a cruel and a merciless tyrant that would put his own son to death. That's just horrendous. There are many objections, and you've probably heard pretty much all of them. But I would say that the real reason why the cross of Christ is such an offense to us, the real reason why human beings are so offended by the cross of Christ, is because the cross of Christ offends human pride, which always seeks to justify itself. The cross means that you have to give up on yourself. It means you have to give up on your pride. It means you have to give up on your ego. The cross means that you are a poor, miserable sinner, dead in your trespasses and sin, and there's nothing you can do about it. And that is painful for natural man. To come to that realization is painful. The cross knocks all the props out from any religious system that tries to advocate a salvation that can be achieved through human merit. And that's why the gospel is offensive to natural man. Whether you are looking for powerful signs or philosophical wisdom or both, it's offensive. As Paul says, it's a scandalon, a scandal, a stumbling block, an offense. Well, today, as you will have noticed in the worship folder, it is Holy Cross Day, and it's observed all around the world, not always on this date, September 14th, but in many places it is, and for some reason in Latin America, it's observed on May 3rd, which I still do not know why, but in general, September 14th is the day for Holy Cross Day. And some assert that it is a day to commemorate the story that Saint Helena, the mother of Constantine the Great, discovered the cross of Christ when in 326 she made a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And lo and behold, she discovered the cross of Christ. And she also discovered the two crosses of the criminals who were crucified beside him. Well, I was going to say also that Constantine the Great eventually had the Church of the Holy Sepulchre built on that spot. Well, there's a lot more that you could say to this story about all kinds of miracle that happened surrounding it. But I tend to agree with Dr. Schumacher that such stories are of somewhat dubious veracity. I'm not going to spend a lot more time on it. I'm not saying that Helena did not find some wood or maybe some crosses, but whether it was the cross of Christ, who knows? Yet it is certainly fitting, I believe, that we observe this day, that we observe Holy Cross Day, because the Holy Cross marks the pivotal event, really, in the history of mankind. The Holy Cross is a powerful symbol and a reminder of the depth of God's love toward fallen humanity. It's the time and the place where God consummated our salvation. And though it sounds like foolishness and it sounds like weakness, it's God's foolishness which is wiser than man's wisdom. And it is God's weakness which is stronger than the strength of man. I kind of like the way one commentator put it. He said, compressed in cross, the idea of the cross, whether that be spoken or written or looked at, compressed in this idea of cross is a powerful message of salvation through Christ's death. Like so many aspects of our theology, it is quite a paradox, isn't it? In Paul's time, it was a sharp paradox. Can you imagine him saying this kind of thing in that day and age where it was common to see people who had been crucified? In the first century context, it would have been the height of foolishness, the height of madness, to say that you're going to boast in such a thing. The cross symbolized a cruel and a vulgar and a shameful and humiliating death reserved for the worst criminals. But Paul says in another place that if he's going to boast, he's going to boast in the cross of Christ. Foolishness, offensive, but the power and the wisdom of God. That's why Luther called it a theology of the cross. It's the exact opposite of what natural man would expect from the Almighty, from divinity. It's the exact opposite. When you contemplate the cross of Christ, there's no room for a theology of glory. There's no room, certainly, for any kind of prosperity theology. But what a measure of comfort it provides to us. What a measure of courage and confidence that it offers us. Paul says at the end of today's reading, he says, because of the cross of Christ, you are in Christ Jesus. Because of the cross of Christ, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, who became to us righteousness, who became to us sanctification, who became to us redemption. And he goes on, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. And Paul said in another place, far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think I have to refer to the hymn that we have just sung, and especially the fourth verse, where it is put so very poetically. Faithful cross, true sign of triumph, be for all the noblest tree. None in foliage, none in blossom, none in fruit thine equal be. Symbol of the world's redemption for the weight that hung on thee. Beautiful words from the 6th century. Now, I have noticed in kind of thinking about Holy Cross Day that there has been some vigorous debate on some of the Lutheran blogs that are out there about whether we should celebrate Holy Cross Day. I've noticed some of the more liturgically correct and astute pastors will have a special service today. Perhaps they will have it around noon today or this evening, in which they will invite their parishioners to come forward and kiss the cross in the chancel. And there are others, of course, that object and say that that is not appropriate. I don't want to pronounce on that. But, you know, I guess thinking about it, if there is one reason for not observing Holy Cross Day, I think there is one reason. And that is that the cross of Christ is so significant to us. And it's of such importance that it's really something that should not and cannot be reserved for one day. It needs to be observed every day, does it not? It's a part of who we are and our faith and our source of confidence. Every day should be Holy Cross Day. In fact, I would say that it is for us. Every day is Holy Cross Day. How can it not be? So I can see that, for example, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Hannah and observed a special day for Hannah. And I can see a special day for other biblical people that we know about and some of the saints of the past. But for something like the Holy Cross, it seems to me it really needs to be observed every day of our lives. That's the Christian life, is it not? So if I'm going to boast, let it be in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Foolishness? Weakness? No. It's the power of God and the wisdom of God, whose ways are not our ways. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the true faith in the Christ who went the way of the cross for us and for our salvation. Amen.